Welcome to Chronic Curiosity, where we have real conversations with real people, from everything to anything, in attempts to facilitate dialogue with our fellow humans, and hopefully your curiosity as well as ours. If you can withstand the show, we ask, most importantly, that you tell your friends and family, but also, you can pick up some merch, or just donate to the show at chronic-curiosity.com in USD or Bitcoin. If you feel so obliged, you can give us a good rating and follow on whatever podcast platform you so choose. But please feel free to reach out to us on the website or the socials, which can also be found on the website, chronic-curiosity.com. And here we go. So today's going to be slightly different, but it'll still sound quite a bit like our typical format. Chad Beecher stopped by, and he runs a podcast called Dad Devotions. And so we recorded an episode that is a little more specifically dad-oriented, and Chad kind of steers the ship, as it were. So enjoy.
Oh, it's scratchy. It is when these are on, because I find myself talking like this for 3 hours. Because I got to turn this down so I can not hear myself as much so I can talk louder. But I like hearing myself talk. I mean, not me.
Oh, we know.
Did we get that? I'll turn it up. That's a nice thing.
I can't even
about,
hear myself. Oh, here we go. I can't hear myself in here now. Yeah,
no, that's just the headphone volume.
Oh, yeah. You got to crawl under the desk. Fred and Cassie.
Yeah, no, I'll turn that up.
Ooh, I can hear myself. Yeah,
I'll make sure to turn that up.
Like Barry White. I don't really. So I tried the whole Fred intro, which was just start recording. It's like the Rogan intro. Like you just start recording like mid conversation. Like you get it at a good spot,
right?
And then you're just like, there it is.
Oh, well, it's always been a at least for. Are we doing the dad? Are we doing it to start off with that? Is that
what? Well, yeah. I mean, I would say kind of like what I asked you, if you're okay, respect. If not, I'll hit the bleep. So the dad.
No, pod, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you can, if you, yeah, tone it down.
Yep.
Use the,
I will. I can do that for
PG
you.
PG version, but yeah, like,
I can do that.
And I know you've got, we talked about this when you started your podcast, which was you asked for advice. You said, hey, you got do you have any suggestions, anything like that? And I was like, yeah, man, get it clean. Just do a clean podcast. You'll be a broader audience. You're like, yeah, F that. I'm not doing that.
Yeah,
And I was just like, ah, well, why? And you're like, because it's not me. And I talked about this. It's probably that Reese dude.
No, I ate the Reese because I'm.
Oh, okay. You looked vascular upstairs, so I wasn't sure.
I don't know what that means.
She had these like massive veins, man. She was jacked. Yeah, my wife's jacked. But anyways, I talked about the being clean or not. Like in my real life, Fred knows this. I'm like kind of like a sailor. But I try to be respectful to everybody's wishes. You know, a lot of people don't like to mix religion and curse words and things like that. It kind of is a turn off to them.
Yeah, and I understand that.
I do too. I understand it. But there's a lot of people that do it though. And to me, being genuine... Somebody gave me this lecture that I'm giving myself right now. Being genuine is authentic. Being authentic to yourself, that shows through the microphone. And somebody was like, hey, just be authentic. If that's how you're going to do it. I'm like, I completely get that. But like, I'm just starting out, man. Like just starting out. You're like, you got to follow the rules, you know?
Well, I don't know.
What rules?
I don't know. The social media's rules.
No, see, and that's
people
where,
don't say.
I thought you were talking. Well, just Cassie is Fred's wife, but she is more than welcome to talk. She is awesome.
Yeah, so we have dual. We're kind of. I'll try not to. I'll do my best not to
interview
host,
me
to host you. Yeah, I'll let you do it. But it's. I think for the sake of the people, if you're going to put this out there,
yeah, we kind of have to explain.
If you leave any of this in,
so we're recording at Fred's house where he does his podcast for now, and he's what are you like 2 hours away, something like that?
Yeah.
So I met Fred. Well, let's start off with this. Fred runs a podcast called
Chronic Curiosity.
Chronic Curiosity. He's got a website. He's got YouTube.
Yeah, Google it. It's there.
Facebook.
I'm not going to.
I'll put the links in there.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I'll put the links in there. So Fred started this podcast with Tony and Cassie, and they started having people on what's been a year or two.
Over 2 years now.
Yeah, dude, time flies, man.
Yeah.
He's got this sweet table, got this whole setup, and he's the one that inspired me to do my podcast. So his podcast is just about being curious about cool stuff, like
everything.
Everything, really.
Not even cool, some stuff that's,
I think it's
that's
cool.
Hard. Like, no, they can be hard. Life.
Yeah. So, know, and really, like, we touch, I think, so the ones I've been on with you, we've touched all kinds of different stuff. I got you this crazy poster about, you know, QAnon and Trump and space programs and
yeah, it's fun.
Galactic federations, but it's fun, right? Yep. But then you get talking about, you know, current events. You get talking about, hey, what's your opinion? Like, what's your opinion on, you know, this tragedy that happened? Like, what are you guys thinking? Like, what, man. And it just sparking like that curiosity, just having, and I guess you've explained it even with not me, not on the show. It's like sitting around a campfire, drinking some bourbon or whatever like that, and just talking.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, just life. And I think before COVID, it was a lot like that. After COVID, that we kind of lost a lot of that. Maybe I would say back in the day.
Yeah. So that's kind of, the way I kind of explained it too, is, the impetus was COVID for us. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what kind of got everything going. We had played some music, and
that's right.
Yeah. So I had a good base of, you know, audio recording equipment. So, you know, I like hobbies and I like figuring things out.
Long walks on the beach.
Yeah, all the things. But to me, like I like learning. I'm chronic. Literally the show is I think if there's a phrase that I could describe myself, it would be chronically curious.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how the show got named, is because I'm just interested in everything. And the more I get interested in things, the more I realize things are interesting with real life.
Yeah.
So that's kind of during COVID. Nobody was talking. It felt like that. It felt like we were all just so like sequestered and quarantined. So we were like, hey, why don't we like start a podcast and just talk? Cause we would sit down in my basement and play music, and we would, you know, drink bourbon and, you know, have a beer or two, whatever it is. And we would play music and write music. And, you know, inevitably you sit down, you know, with your buddies and, having drinks and playing music and writing music and creating music, you just inevitably like end up just bullshitting for hours.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. Just checking, I did it. I'm sorry.
No,
you end up talking and having conversations for hours.
No, I would say, so my goal in my podcast kind of, I think of my flaws. My flaws is whenever on a podcast, I do it like a real conversation. I'm like, yeah, yeah. And I interject that I have to just shut up.
Yeah. Well, I said a bad word.
What'd you say?
See, he didn't even catch it. We're going to leave it in there.
Cause it's just Fred.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
So give me the first letter.
Yes.
Oh, S.
We're BSing. We are BSing. Sorry.
I'll mark it down.
Yeah.
I'll re-listen to it. It's okay. Yeah, I get this sweet bleep. I'll just add in there.
You can add it in there. Yeah.
But
we ended up talking for hours, and we're like, why don't we just like record these things? Cause we felt like we were having some really good conversations, and because we were, you know, with our close friends, we still needed to connect, and we were still we weren't going out and doing things. Not that we were, you know, extremely extroverted people to begin with. But we were playing music, and there were some things that we just weren't willing to give up, you know, during the COVID lockdowns. We needed to, we weren't going to give up like being able to see our friends.
Yeah. And
being able to see our family that we knew wasn't at risk once, you know, we started understanding what it was. So we started a podcast, and we thought, you know what, like, well, let's just have open conversation. Like, we'll just talk and see how it happens. Cause we always, you know, ended up having some interesting conversations, and that led me to wanting to be more curious about politics, all those things. And I've talked about it a lot on the show, but that's kind of what started it. And we realized that us being just authentically real
was what I wanted the niche to be. Just conversations with people and being able to give people space and the ability and outlet to have real, authentic, and even intimate conversations. Because I hold the belief that like we're all so similar and alike as people, just in general. We have more things in common than we don't. So I really want to give people the space to be who they want to be and who they are, as long as, you know, all the things are being respected on me as a person, then I want someone to be who they are. And where's that line? You know, that's where like politics and, you know, that social divide that we see so much now coming in is, where's the line? Well, I think the only way we find where the line is for each of us is talking about it. And I think if people talk about things and are honest and just very intimate with how they think and feel with someone else, then it can be, well, this is what I believe. This is what you believe. Well, are you okay if I don't? Are you okay if I go up to this point and I believe this? Well, yeah, that's fine. You can believe whatever you want to believe, but just, you know, don't infringe your beliefs on me. But okay, to me, that sounds good. Bygones be bygones. Like, I love you as a human being. Yeah. So like, let's talk,
dude,
and let's find that interconnection and, you know, cause let's teach our kids that, right? Yeah. Dad devotions.
Yeah.
Let's teach our kids that how to talk to real human beings and how to, you know, embrace each other as people.
They're not taught that. And so there's a couple things. So the first thing is, you know, to trail off of that, you and I had a conversation playing golf in your garage, right?
Okay.
And if you recall, we were talking about drugs and things like that and, you know, legalizing it or not. And we got in this huge conversation. I think I had a little too much to drink and you were questioning me on it. You said, why not? Why not? Why not? And I don't think you really cared even. You were just asking why not to see where you were seeing where I was going to go with it. And I was just like, all right. And I was like, I feel pretty strong about this. And you're like, why? I'm like, because I do, man. Because you don't be wanting to do that around my kids. You're like, why? What's the deal? It's in their own house. I'm like, ah. And then we kind of got to the nuts and bolts of it and realized, like, I got to realize some things. I don't know if you realized much because you're you, but you got me to.
Oh, what's that supposed to mean? I can't.
So if it's.
What's that supposed to mean?
I would say it'd be very hard pressed to change your mind about something.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, so here's,
That's what I mean by that.
I can appreciate
okay.
that. But you got
me to think about the things I was saying, and it wasn't until after the fact, because in the moment I was like, screw you, Fred. I was like, I'm pretty strong about this. I'm not changing my opinion. And then I got to thinking about it. And then it was like days after I was like, you know, he was onto something and he was pressing me in a caring way. Like, he actually was really just trying to get me to think.
That's my whole argument I can defend myself for my mind being hard to change is because, you know, especially these last couple of years doing the show, and being in talking to all the people that I have, and heck, we've sat down for how many hours on my show? Three or four times for hours, you know, 2-3 hours at a time. And we've, you know, been friends for quite a long time. My whole defense of that is like, it is difficult to change my mind because if you're trying to change my mind, then more than likely it's, you know, for a strong belief that you have. And that's awesome. But my stance is I've thought about what I believe in quite a bit. And if I haven't thought about it, I'll tell you. Well, I don't know. I haven't really thought about it. Do you have an opinion on this? Well, I don't know. I've never really thought about it.
Then you don't want to talk about it.
Well, because I haven't thought about it. I'll talk about it. I'll talk about anything you want. But as far as asking for my opinion, yeah. I don't know. I haven't thought about it. But I've been very careful in analyzing my own opinions, and as Tony, you know, has been coined to say, being honest with my self appraisal.
Oh yeah.
So it's bad. That introspectiveness of, okay, this is if I think this, why do I think this? What is it that I think and why? And let me like, I want to explore this thing in my mind. And I spend a lot of time doing that. It's kind of like a pastime.
I don't think enough people do that.
Well, that's why I agree. So that's why I try to present things and ask questions to, you know, get someone to consider why they think something or just tell me, cause I'm interested, because not only do I like, yeah, guess what? I like being right.
Yeah.
Sure. Everyone likes that, but I've really enjoyed learning other people's perspectives.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I have a strong opinion on something, it's because I've thought a lot about it and why I think those things, but you're more than welcome to change my mind. And I would encourage it. I would actually, I request it.
Yeah.
If you can change my mind, that is the most exciting thing for me, because now I learned something new that I didn't before.
Absolutely.
And that's so, I just feel like I just needed to defend myself.
You're good, bro. and the thing is like, we know each other and it's kind of a weird relationship. We're like pen pals, right? So this is kind of, I guess to explain, I mentioned you not quite frequently. I have a small man crush on you. No, I'm joking. But I mentioned you a few times on my podcast. I'm like, oh yeah, my buddy Fred, it's got the podcast, this is Fred.
Who do you think has mentioned each other on their podcast more though?
Oh, I don't know. Well, you've got more episodes.
And I've mentioned you a lot, particularly with bourbon.
Because I'm this crazy guy. I'm this crazy guy that shows up with boxes of bourbon, like thousands of dollars, and it's typically not yours, but today it was part of it.
Yeah, just a couple.
Four.
Oh, yeah. But anyway.
Anyway, so Fred, I met at a thing called Roverfest up in Cleveland. And it's a, so I'm just going to be a real rehash because this story's been told multiple times. But there's a music festival. I went up there. It's something I like doing. And, I had this huge long beard and I was just getting into working out before I was 30. And this dude, this jacked guy, he's walking around. He's got this cut off t-shirt on. He's got this like bandana thing. I think, I don't know, a hat, this puka necklace on, puka shell. He looks like Bane, but like jacked Abercrombie Bane, right? Yes. What? So you know what I'm talking about, like from The Dark Knight,
Bane from The Dark Knight. Yeah,
yeah, the big dude. Yeah. But you look like Abercrombie Dark Knight or Hollister. How? Hollister Dark Knight. How? I don't know. You just did.
How? What?
This is just go with it. All right.
Okay, just go with it.
But anyways, I see this. He's got these shades on. He looks like he's literally from Hollister. But anyways, that's all
right. I had sunglasses and shorts on.
I know jorts, but. I walk
shorts. I never wore shorts. This is your story.
This is my story. This is exactly right. This is my story. So I walk up to this dude, this Jack dude. I'll just leave it at that. And I'm kind of drunk. And
Maybe the Jack dude introduced him to me. Maybe that's what it was. Cause I was not wearing jorts. I didn't have a necklace on.
I don't know, but this dude, good looking dude. And, that's what it is. I was like, hey, lady. But I walked up and I just started working out. And I was like, how long does it take to get to said physique? I'm like, I just don't know these things. I'm like, is it years? Is it months? Is it, do I have to do juice? Whatever. So I'm like, hey, I really am curious. So like, I'm drunk and curious and that never ends up well. So I walked up to this guy and that typically doesn't end up well either. But I walk up to him and I'm like, hey man, I got a question for you. And my question is just going to be, how long did it take you to get to that point of your physique? And this guy is just as drunk, if not more, and looks at me. He's like, I got a question for you. And I was like, okay. Well, what's yours? He's like, can I touch your beard?
That part happened.
At him and I'm like, yeah. Can I touch your arm? And he's like, yeah.
That part also happened.
So I touched his arm and he touched my beard. And then our women that were there looked at each other like, what in the, no, actually, I don't even think Cassie was right there. Cause I was like, all right, wait a sec. We got to have our lady friends meet. Because this can't just be two guys just bromancing here. So then that happened and we kind of made it a Roverfest thing. And then we just hung out a few more times and then just kind of hang out like four or five times a year.
Yeah. That was probably, that's kind of been 7 years ago, something like that, I bet.
Yeah.
Sick. I mean, at least
it was 6 or 7 years ago.
That's wild.
It is. Cause it was before I turned 30 and I'm 36.
Oh,
I know. So anyways, that's how I met Fred. That's how I know Fred. Fred's a dad.
I am a dad.
So part of the dad devotions is we talk about dads and we talk about the things that kind of got us to where we're at now, the things we went through. I would say one good piece of advice that you gave me, for before I was a dad, or maybe while I was a dad, we were at, Cassie, what's your favorite Mexican place here? What is it?
El Camp.
El Campesino. Yeah,
it's a local restaurant.
It's Cassie loves this place. She could eat it every single day.
She probably could. at least taste bud wise.
I know. So anyways, we're at El Campesino and, Fred and Cassie are sitting there and I'm just like, hey, dude, I'm having these, you know, struggles. You know, this is what's going on. Fred looks at me, pretty intense dude. And I'll tell a story about that too in a second, but looks at me and he's like, hey dude, listen, there is only the people you choose to be in your circle. I guess you can tell it better. Tell the circle thing.
Oh, see, he started telling this story and then he's going
to, it's your story.
Mandy was pregnant.
Yes. That's Mandy was pregnant.
You guys weren't parents yet, but she was growing.
And I was wigging out.
Yeah. First time parents. We had, she was probably four-ish. Yeah, four or five at that point. That would make sense. And yeah, we were having some, this one.
Yeah, I'll try that.
It's pretty good. It's all spicy.
Okay.
And we were having dinner. I don't remember what for, any whatever reason, but I remember you guys coming to us and, you know, just it was. We could tell you're being open and honest about.
Was that the when I came over randomly to do your roof?
No. She wasn't with us. Mandy wasn't here. No, Mandy wasn't there. No,
because Mandy wasn't here when we were at dinner either.
No, she was. For that conversation, I'm almost positive.
Doesn't matter.
With us. Either way.
Tell the story.
Either way. I'm trying to get the facts straight. Either way,
I'll fact check you.
You know, as soon to be parents, understandably so, it was like, hey, like what, you know, we're trying to think about all these different factors. Because when you become a parent, you have to consider all the different factors, right? Because now it's no longer just you. It's no longer just you and your spouse. It's this human being. And parents will, anybody that's had a child can understand that. But anybody that has a child, I would say probably under 9 doesn't fully understand it yet. That you have a little human being.
I did today.
Yeah, you think you do, but you just keep on realizing it more and more.
How old is your kid?
11.
Okay.
So she's been, and it's when they start, it's an interesting thing to see them grow. And when they start having the intellect and the critical thinking capabilities and what they're saying is when you have a toddler or a small child that's just learn how to speak and they're just having fun and they're doing, it's so cool, right? A toddler, that toddler age, that 3 to 6, like it can be a really fun age. It can be a real rough age too, but it's fun to see, this baby's cute. You know, this tiny little baby is cute and it's fun and it's cuddly and it's so precious because it's just a little baby.
Oh yeah.
So cool. Right. And you kind of, everything starts sinking in. Oh my gosh. Like this is mine. Like I have to take care of this. We joke, Cass and I joke about it all the time where it's like that first day when you're leaving the hospital.
Terrifying.
Yeah. And they're like, all right, we'll see you later. And you're like, what? Wait a minute.
Now what?
Like, wait, no, hold on. Like you guys are just, you're just sending us home with this thing. Like who signs off on that? Who says that? What? Like you're just giving, like, we're just going home with this little tiny creature. Like what? What's going on? I don't really. Okay. Like we'll figure it out, I guess. And then as you learn through the years, like you see this little creature grow and it has, you know, a conscience and, once it starts having this like metacognition of like being able to understand that it's like, and maybe it doesn't quite recognize it at that point, but it's giving you thoughts and it's giving you, feedback as a parent and as a child. Like it's, that's not just created from its environment, because when it's a little kid, it's, you know, a little kid talking, you know, they're learning how to walk, they learn how to talk, and all, they're just kind of like a parrot. They're just repeating things they hear. But when they start forming their own thoughts and opinions and ideas, and then they relay them to you as a parent, it's like, whew,
that's wild.
Whoa. Like this is, hey, we, what's this thing living in our house? Like this is an alien. Like this is a thing. Like this is a person. This is a human. Like that's when it kind of gets a little trippy.
Yeah.
But you were, sorry, I got way off on a tangent.
Wow. There. All right. So bring it back.
So yeah.
We were sitting there and I said, give me one piece of advice. He said, I told you, I said, hey, I'm going through some issues with the parental units and some thoughts about some things, and I'm freaking out a little bit. And I came to a bunch of my friends, but you kind of gave me the best piece of advice. And you said, Chad, listen, there's a circle, and not to be, you know, kind of like the meet the Fockers or whatever like that, but literally there's a circle, right? And you choose who's in the circle and who's not.
Right.
And you really looked at me and meant that. And yeah. I can tell when you are passionate about something and it means a lot to you. You kind of looked at me and you said, hey, this is everything. There's going to be people coming in the circle. There's going to be people leaving the circle too. They're allowed back in, but you decide.
Yeah.
And you gave me a couple examples. And I said, those are great examples. I didn't even think about that. And honestly, I reflect upon that conversation that we had, till this day, because, you know, it truly is who you decide to be in the circle. It's not like, oh, you pissed me off today, you don't get to be in the circle.
Yeah, no, that's not what it's about.
It's, hey, you know, you didn't respect me. There was a lot of disrespect that's been going on, or, you know, I really made this very clear to you and you decided to not respect this. I'm going to have to just not be able to let you do that. And it's not like a punishment, but it's like I think that's a thing that you get when you're in the circle. And I just,
so maybe I can,
okay. So yeah, expand upon that, because that's the groundwork is, yeah, we expanded upon it at the conversation.
Yeah. So the idea of the circle, it's not a, like you said, it's not like a punishment that you're outside of the circle, and it's right. Not like this, like, oh, like the people on the inside of the circle are the ones partying and like, oh, like we're the cool club. It's the realization of when you start a family, it's, you are, whether it be legally with the government and you want to, you know, get the marriage part, because that's all, in my opinion, the marriage part is kind of, it's a weird thing that you're entering into some kind of legal binding thing with the government, because the government, that's a whole different story.
People aren't going to follow you down.
Yeah. There. So, but I will. What you're doing is when you get married or when you have a partner that you are locked in with, well, what you're doing is you're agreeing to a companionship and a day in and day out relationship and, you know, dual functioning situation where you're taking that person into your life. And whether it be emotionally, physically, financially, all those things, that's what a marriage is, right? You take everything. It's where we're combining our two lives. So you have a responsibility for that person, and not only for your own happiness, but for theirs. And this whole situation, you are entering into a contract, essentially this binding relationship with somebody that you're taking responsibility for them. Because you are willingly doing that, you're entering into a relationship with somebody. But when you have a child, that child didn't have a choice to be there. When it's in a relationship, it's 50-50. Either party, you know, at least in America, has the ability to say, I don't want to be in this relationship anymore. See you later.
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever. So that's 50-50. But that child had no decision in that. You just brought it into the world. It had no decision. So what you're doing now is you should be expected, in my opinion, to be responsible for that child's life. You are in the grand scheme of all the things, you are responsible for that child's life if you bring it into this world.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
Because I would say too many parents, I know some people, and I'm not going to name names, but too many parents, man, they're like, no, this is all about me. I can't stand your mom or whatever like that. It's see ya. You know, it's like, well, I'm going to be living by myself. We're going to separate. And that kid, man, the kid did not choose. Is that kind of where you're going with that?
Well, because,
sorry, I didn't mean to expand upon that, but yeah. Like you were tangenting again. And I've got so many questions for you.
All right. So I'll get to the point.
All right. I got a ton of questions
for you. So the child, I say that to say the child didn't have a choice in this. So you are bringing yourself to be responsible for that child. So now that child should be the core of your circle.
Okay. I see where you're going.
So that child, unless that child makes decisions on its own as a human being, as we've talked about, they grow into to leave that circle. That child is your circle because as a parent, you have brought that child into your life, into this world. You have brought that child into their own life. They are the circle. And your job as a parent is to protect the circle around that child.
That's what you told me. That's right.
So it doesn't matter if it's your in-laws. I've heard some horrific stories about in-laws doing like horrific things. I'd be like, no. And it doesn't matter if it's your own family. Cause what's your family?
So can we,
what should be the core of your family?
Yeah.
It's not your mom. It's no longer your dad. It's no longer your brothers or sisters because you created a new core to your family because your family is now your child, period. And then anybody who wants to, this is obviously my belief, anybody who wants to be a part of a constructive relationship with that child, okay, you get first pass to be in my circle. If you don't want to be a constructive partner in this circle that the center is my child, we're going to have some problems. And I don't care if it's a mother-in-law. I don't care if it's a friend. I don't care if it's a mother, if it's a father. Guess what? I don't care if it's a spouse. If you're not okay with the core of my circle being my child, you're welcome to leave. Because that is my core.
Yeah.
In a pure responsibility, you know, outlook on it, like perception on it, rather. It's, this is my core now because I made the decision to create this human being. And that means I should have made the decision to be responsible to and for that human being until, you know, that's obviously when kids turn into human beings and they get older and turn into adults, they can make their own decisions. And if that, guess what? Some kids grow older and they make really bad decisions. So like, I'm not saying that you have to hold on to that forever because some people, they're going to be people. People are always people. So like, you can't always hold yourself responsible once that human being has grown into a self-decision-making adult. Because at that point, hey, did my best.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to go and mess up your life,
that's your own decision. I would say that's the cliff notes on that is it was great, which was, you know, and I remember our conversation like it was yesterday now, because you explained it very similar to that. And it doesn't matter. You know, do you mind if I share the story that you told me? About the it was like the wipe in the butt and all that stuff. Like,
yeah, I mean, I don't, yeah.
Well, I didn't want to.
I can't imagine I've shared any story with you that I would.
No, that's fine. It was Cassie's mom. Okay.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Yeah. So this was the example that we were talking about, and you said to me, and I've reflected upon this. You said, this is an example, Chad, of what I mean. And we were eating tacos at the time, so we were trying to get this conversation through, and it wasn't as prolific as you've explained it right now, but that's okay. But you said, listen, here's an example. we were potty training Kai, and you know, she figured out how to wipe herself. And so we said, hey, you got to wipe yourself. My daughter's going through it right now. You know, she's playing the, hey daddy, come wipe me. And I'm like, dude, you got this. Sometimes it's like, I'm ready to get out the door. I'm like, fine. Here, dab, 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 done. All right, let's go. We do the dab, dab, dabby. That's the,
hey, if I could have someone wipe me every time, I'm not saying I turn it down.
Yeah. So it's
make
like,
it easy.
Yeah. So it's like, you were telling me a story. You said, well, Cass's mom, she would, you know, be grandma, can you come wipe me? Oh, of course, honey. I got it. And you said, hey, listen, we're trying to potty. I picture like an Obama speech almost, which is crazy. You're like, hey, listen, we're trying to teach her how to wipe herself. And so one of the things we're going to need you to do is make sure you let her wipe herself. So
that's not a bad Obama impression.
Basically, don't wipe her. Okay.
And that's not bad. That's pretty good. So, good practice in the app.
Potty trained. She okay. Was just regressing at grandma.
Yeah.
Which is even worse.
No, that's okay. So my daughter's doing the same thing. I'm like, grandma, come wipe me. Okay, I got you. So you said, grandma, I'm going to fire a warning shot over the bow. Grandma, we're potty training her. I just ask you not to do that. Okay. Okay, that's fine. Cool. Next time you go to grandma's house, come back. Grandma, wipe me. Hey, grandma, listen, I told you. We're not doing that. I think it was like, you said something, it was a little more extended than that, but you said, hey, this is did you say like a three strike, you're out kind of deal?
No, we didn't give any strikes or anything like that. I don't think,
but it was
very like, look, like this
you were pretty, you were stern the second time.
Yeah. It was like, if this is going to be how you're going to be conducting the oversight of my child while she's here, go for it. Oh, that's a new one.
I know. That's why I asked.
Then if you're going to be conducting like the oversight of my child while she's here, then we need you to make sure to follow some key points that we're trying to do and follow. And that's one of those is making her self-reliant, because that's, I get grandmas and grandparents, like they want to spoil their kids and that's fine. Yeah. I'm cool with it. We're cool with that. Like give them the junk food. Like that's fine. But when you are at that age, oh no, we'll have to figure that one out. At that age, when they're trying to figure life out, like that's one of those things that, you know, they need to learn how to do this.
You said it's non-negotiable is how you put it. That was your sternness. You said it's non-negotiable, grandma. I'm sorry, but it's non-negotiable. And I forgot about that until you said that, Cass. But that's exactly what you said. And you said, it's non-negotiable. This is where we're at. I'm going to need you to follow by this, because we're not going to be able to have her over to your house again.
Yeah, I think we threatened that a couple times.
You laid down the law.
If you're going to continue to do this, then she's just not going to come here and spend as much time, because we're literally trying to teach her how to do some very vital thing, you know, go to the bathroom and clean yourself.
I would say
that what you're doing is you're counteracting her progress as a human being to learn how to do these things. So it's like, and we went through a lot of rough years of, you know, there's times where people thought we were too stern with our child. There's times where people are like, oh, she's just a kid. Let her relax. Let her be a kid. Well, there's a difference between a kid and being a jerk, and kids need to learn that they can't be jerks. It doesn't matter how old they are. It doesn't matter how much they know or how truly and innocently ignorant they are. Kids need to learn how to interact with people, and they need to learn how to wipe their own butt.
Yeah.
So
I want to touch on a few more things. And I think that was such an impactful thing for me that I just needed other dads to hear that, because that was one of the key things that I had in my, I say growth, you got to try that, by the way. And my growth was knowing that. And I'll tell you what, Fred, that is the hardest conversation to have with a mother-in-law or a mother or a father. I've had screaming matches out my front door about stupid stuff like that. And you could look at me and say, why are you having screaming matches? You're an idiot.
Well, I didn't say you're an idiot.
But
screaming might be a little much.
But I know, but here's the thing is, you know, if somebody doesn't respect what you're saying and they roll their eyes at you, and you look at them like, wait, what did you just do? Listen, this is pretty big deal, you know? And they go, oh, okay, well, sorry, it's hard to please you, you know? And you sit there and you go, wait a sec. I'm going to make a stink about this right now. You guys need to watch and follow what I'm saying because it's not your decision. You've raised me. That's your choice. Now it's my turn.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's your
my core. Circle.
It's my circle. This right. is my family. My family is my kids. And my spouse first.
I will tell you
and
what.
And then everybody else.
Grandma and grandpa, it's very hard for them to get that because they see you as a kid still. At least in my setting, right?
I could see how that could, you know, that makes sense. But that's, you know what? At some point, you got to let the bird leave the nest.
Yeah.
Right?
But I would say that I've reflected on in arguments like that, and it's kept my cool, which was, I just want to thank you for that. But I also want to ask you, you know, it is a faith-based podcast, and you're going to hate me for this.
I won't hate you for anything.
But
I mean,
I'm not going to ask you the full shebang, but when you were raised, I'm kind of hard segueing this. I'm not segueing this. I'm just literally
it's
taking,
your show, bro.
Hitting the e-brake and drift around a corner. But
that's fun.
Yeah. But it's like, I guess my question to you is, let me just back up here. Cause I asked about advice that you gave me. What advice would you give somebody, whether it's be in the word, not in the word, whether it's be a good person, not a good person. And you're going to have an opinion about this, but you raise your guys' kid about being just a good person. I would ask you, you're very knowledgeable in the Bible. You are. I know you are. You're knowledgeable in the Bible, and you're knowledgeable in church, because those are two separate things.
Yeah.
You and I
think, experience both of those things.
I know. Like, and
in depth.
We haven't really talked about that. The difference in those two, but I would want to tell you, I see there's a big difference in church and the Bible. And actually really what is the Bible, like the New International Version, the New Living Translation, like there are so many different translations about
That's a
what's
whole
in the
different
Bible.
Discussion for a different day.
But no, it okay. is, but, yeah. but my question would be to you is whatever you define faith as, the teachings that are in the textual Bible, mm-hmm. do you see the benefit in that for a family to kind of utilize those teachings or at least reflect upon those teachings? And this is a question asking to a guy that considers himself not a Christian. I mean, explain that.
Yeah. Okay. So
tell me where you're at.
So
tell me what you think about what I said.
Let me clarify that. So we have
because that was a loaded question.
Yeah, it was very loaded. So this is
personally what I'm interested in talking to you about.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
So you have the first question is, what do you think the differences or the, I'm trying to think how to phrase it. About the Bible piece.
Is there a benefit in having the Bible,
the family,
as a key teaching instrument in a family,
right?
Based on the textual information within the Bible, not church.
Yeah, no, I think there's benefits in both.
I do too.
I think there could be benefits in both, and I think it all depends on your experience and the people that you're around and what your own beliefs are.
I want to talk about the text though.
Yeah. So, and the text. So,
okay.
It's
a whole nother podcast talking about why Fred doesn't like church.
No. Yeah.
I want to talk about your knowledge in the Bible though.
So the text. So real quick, before we get to the text,
go,
you're going to text while I'm talking about the text.
You don't want
to
think
I'll write it. No, but you say goodnight to your girls and then we'll be right back.
Okay.
And I'll answer your question.
Hey, thank you for not telling me to F off with that, because it's something I've really been curious about as a friend.
Like, no, I'm never going to tell you to F off about any 99% of things.
You would just say, yeah. I'm confused.
No.
Anyways.
All right.
So back to the question. The question stated was, hey, Fred, I know you've got a background in religion.
Yes.
You've got a family.
Sounds like a degree.
You do. No, but the thing is like, I don't know too many people that have
I'm basically a doctor.
A doctor.
Because I have spent more years in religion than most doctors.
Well, but you have read the Bible and you've been knowledgeable in the words in the Bible,
yes,
based on your own reading of it, studying of it, and things like that.
Yes.
You weren't just indoctrinated by like the Jehovah's Witness or whatever like that. No offense to them, but you weren't basically taught something. You said, I'm going to read this for myself.
Yes.
And now you're a family man, and I want to know, hey, what did you take and put into your own practice from that, if anything? And yeah, if you say nothing, hey, dude, that's fine. I think you should, because there's a lot of good teachings, but I think you do to an extent. I just want to know, and I've never really asked you this an extent, but I want to know what your opinion is on that.
Yeah. So I think there's a lot of
short and sweet though.
Yeah. There's, I know. Sorry.
Sorry, dude.
There's a lot of,
cause I got a ton of questions for you.
Yeah. There's a lot of phenomenal teachings in the Bible. I mean, there's nobody that can dispute that, that would make any sense, because it's a plethora of good teachings. But yeah, I was, through my teenage years, I spent, roughly about 10 years in a very, Bible believing, more than Baptist church. It was a non-denominational Bible like church. It was King James Version. And, I spent a lot of years learning. I did. I feel maybe now that you mentioned, I've never thought of it that way, but I feel like I kind of have at least a
theology degree.
And I mean, maybe not quite that far, but I have at least a bachelor's.
Oh, I think. Not just an associate's?
Yeah, not just an associate's. Ooh. I feel like I have at least a bachelor's degree,
okay,
in Christianity, and specifically King James Version Christianity, because there's a difference there.
There is, man, and that's, yeah, I would say that's that version, King James, thou, all those different, oh, yeah, it hits different, man.
Yeah, so I've read through it a handful of times, back
to front.
How many
times?
I don't know for sure.
More than five.
I don't know if I could say more than five.
Three? Like, more than twice.
Yes. Yeah. I would say probably if I had to like try to put money on it, mm-hmm, although I feel like that's probably against biblical teachings.
Probably a sin.
Yeah. I would say probably 3 to 5. I've been back to front 3 to 5. I've spent a lot of additional time.
You started in Revelations?
Well, front to back.
Well, all right.
I Genesis. Mean, sometimes I did start in Revelations. It's fun. It's exciting.
It's wild.
It's
isn't
wild.
It?
Yeah.
Yeah. Gnashing of teeth.
Yeah. Weeping and wailing.
Go ahead. Sorry.
But no, so I have front to back. Like, there were times, you know, obviously I read it and as I'm reading it, we're studying it and doing Wednesdays, Sundays. I mean, at least twice a week.
Okay.
If not more. So I was through my teenage years, that's kind of how I spent my time. There were a lot of good things that I learned there. There were a lot of perceptions and understandings about human interactions that I learned. And, you know, after leaving the church, was it probably younger 20s? We decided that we needed to kind of, we were lost. And it was kind of funny that, I had spent 10 plus years, in the church in a sense, very deeply with the entire structure of it, the people and everything. And we felt, I kind of felt more lost than I had ever. And part of that was just some of the things in my life and different things that I now looking at it, I was about to work through. But you know, I came out of that experience understanding a lot of, you know, things that the Bible teaches and, a lot of the things that are in there that are very, very good things. You know, I mean, the golden rule, right? That's where that comes from. You know, love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, the whole, was it do unto others as you would want them to do unto you? That's not in the Bible, but it's derived from treat thy neighbor as thyself.
Don't covet thy neighbor's wife.
Yeah. All those things. There's a lot of good things that, cause guess what? There ain't no good that's going to come from
Don't be
it.
Killing nobody.
Yeah. That's probably also going to get you in a heap of trouble.
Yeah.
But so, you know, now I'll be honest. I think the best descriptor of how I am in my religious faith would be agnostic. I wouldn't go to as far as say that I'm atheist. I just don't know. And that's kind of how I approach life in general is I just don't know. And I want to do all the things that I can do and learn all the things I can learn. And at the same time, I want to treat people really, really well.
Do you think you got that from your teachings, like the things you've read in the Bible, or do you just think you're just a generally good dude?
No.
You know what I'm saying? I guess my question is, did it form you in any kind of way? Or were you like, I'm a good dude, and hey, these things make good sense, whatever.
At the same time, how much everything that you interact with in life forms you in some way?
That's kind of where I'm getting. That was really the basis of my question.
I don't necessarily think that, like, me reading that was like, I need to change my life around and I need to with this, that, whatever. It just kind of puts it plants seeds. Right.
Yeah.
So I have no problem. And guess what? And I can only speak for myself, find myself to be a little more agnostic than anything. But we have, and this was, our child was very young when we kind of had that religion and church separation.
Oh, I didn't know that.
She was born and she was a little one when we were still active in the church. And then, you know, we had kind of had that, that separation from the church and whatnot. Like when she was a toddler age. So, but we've never, and I've made it a point to, when she was in elementary school, we have a program at our school that's a breakaway. They call it, it's got like a, they can do religion things. They can teach like Bible courses and things. Cause we live in a fairly small community. Or she goes to a school that's in a small community and they have, you know, kind of Christian based, classes. They're kind of like extracurriculars that they can break away from school and do like a little thing that's like they had close to the school grounds. She wanted to do that. She went and did that and enjoyed it. She's gone to church with her friends. I don't want to restrain her from anything.
Yeah.
Particularly if it's something that is, you know, going to do her well, if she wants to believe, you know, she wants to believe.
I think that you're the parent that would just say, hey, you know, you're going to be who you're going to be. I'll let you form. I'm not going to form you, right? You're going to form you. And I'm going to be there to help with the guidelines.
Yeah, I'm going to give her the tools.
Yeah. But the thing is you're not going to restrict her from other things that, like, obviously you're like, hey, don't do heroin, right? But if it's church, you're going to say, hey, you know what? Go form your own opinion, right? As long as you're not getting indoctrinated to the point to where I'm seeing some major issues, I would assume you would be like, whatever, go for it.
So our whole idea, you know, as parents, is to give our child the tools and the knowledge and the ability to think critically for herself.
Right.
I want her to decide how she wants to move through life, and for her to be able to decide that as you go through life, because it's rough. You know, you go, anybody that's gone through their 20s, like if you get past 30 and you don't have some kind of notion of, man, this life thing is pretty crazy.
That's called midlife crisis.
Yeah. But no, I'm not midlife crisis. I'm not out there, you know, but I mean, if you are older than 40 years old, and you haven't at some point thought, this thing's pretty wild, maybe you should start considering that. That being said, we want to give our child the tools and the capabilities of being able to wisely make her own decisions through life. And I'll say a 100 times over and over, we want to teach our child how to think, not what to think. How to analyze things, and, you know, not like, hey, this is what you should believe. This is what you should think. We want to give our child the tools and the capabilities and
the knowledge to be able to approach subjects and topics and go, okay, what do I think about this? Let me analyze this situation. Let me look at this and go, okay, I think this or I think that, until someone's able to offer me another idea or opinion and go, oh, I never really thought about that before. Let me think about that. And then maybe I'll incorporate that. Maybe I think it's crap, but we want to give her the tools and the capabilities of being able to decipher those things for herself, because ultimately it's her life. She needs to be able to do those things. Not me. She needs to be able to live with it, because she's the one that's going to have to live with her decisions.
So I guess my own selfishness wants to know about you, but I think from a standpoint of this is a dad podcast, or at least, you know, I'm going to take this and put it on my dad podcast. I think that that's good information. I think that my own selfishness wants to know about your opinions about things, but I think that that's a private conversation. But I gotta take and separate that, because it's not really about me, right? My whole goal is to have other dads listen to this and go, you know what? You may not like church. You may think it's all craziness, right? But to sit there and say, I hate church, so I'm not a believer. You know what, man? Church is one little thing, and it's one church. I guess to me, I went 1 month. Let me give you a quick example of what I mean by that. So I went 1 month, or maybe it was 2 months. I went to a different church each Sunday with my buddy.
All right.
Dude, there's such...
So different.
Dude, there is such a giant, vast difference in that. It's insane. Mm-hmm. Because you'll go to one church, it's about be a leader, be a leader, be a leader. You go to the next church, be a follower, be a follower, be a sheep. Follow the shepherd. Go to another church. Check out this sweet music we got, man. Hey, go ahead and can you donate? Another church is nothing to do. Nothing to do with the church. Nothing to do with God. It's let's just talk about being a good person and donate and be well. Dude, it's so drastic. And then you get some churches that are like, listen, here's the Bible. Let's literally read the Bible. Can we talk about the text? Can we talk about what the text actually means? Can we talk about the actual Hebrew words and what those meanings are, the multiple different definitions of those words? Can we get into it? And dude, I'll tell you what, I went back to that and I said, that's what it's about to me, is what is the textual meanings of the words in the Bible and what could they mean? What's the context of it, right?
Right.
And to me, it helps me say, that's what it's about. Church is really the church body, and church could be anything. Church can be guys sitting there working out at 5:30 in the morning and praying at the end. That was really what church was. It wasn't about having an idol, which is a cross or whatever else. But a lot of churches get to that point to where, you know, or even like religions get to that point to where we talk about don't worship idols. Well, hey, man, what's the cross? You can make that into an idol.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You can make anything into an idol. You can
make anything into an idol, man. But I'll tell you what, man, when you get down to the nuts and bolts and you look at the text and the meat and potatoes of it, I think for me personally, I think that is where religion comes from. And I think that's where our beliefs need to stem from, or at least be rooted in. And my question to you was there any good teachings, or was there anything that you took from that religion, from that teachings, from those things, and put into your own life, into your own teachings with your daughter, with your wife, with yourself, that you would say, you know what, that wasn't so bad? Or did you just go, yeah, whatever. You know, I learned from Billy down the street that just to be a good dude. And if the answer is you learned from Billy down the street, I'm okay with that, Fred. Seriously.
Yeah, no, no, there were a lot of good things.
If there wasn't, it's okay too, because I know you said there's a lot of bad too.
No, there's it's not necessarily a lot of bad. I don't think there's bad is what you make it.
Do you want to open another one, by the way?
You do whatever you want.
No, man. It's your stuff.
Yeah, I mean, as long as you don't, you know, tip it upside down, you're good to go.
How about this rule in one?
That's an older one.
I know, that's the one that I bought for you.
Oh, maybe. I've probably had that for...
No, this one I bought in Indiana. This is the honey hole.
Oh, yeah. Maybe it's really good then. I don't know. It's probably 9 months old.
answer the question.
Yeah. So well, if you stop talking
to me. I know. I'm sorry, dude.
Yeah.
This is going to be a 4-hour podcast.
There's a lot of good things. You know, there's a lot of good teachings.
Just what's your thoughts on it? I guess that's really it. Like, if you say, like, Chad, you know what? I don't reflect upon the teachings in the Bible for anything. I can respect that, man.
No, you know what? So here it is.
You know what I'm saying?
You worry about that.
All right.
So what it is
I'll worry about this.
I think the greatest and biggest lesson that I've learned, is the fact that when it's dealing with humans and the entire
knife.
Damn, bro. You use a pen. That'll work. What are you doing?
I don't know. I'm trying to open this thing. Ooh, there it is.
I think it's seeing the interactions of people and learning what people do and matching that up with what they say versus what they do. You know, I think a lot of people, when they look at religion and they look at the people that practice religion, one of the top words that comes to their mind is hypocrisy.
We talked about this a while ago.
Possibly. Yep. And I think that was one of the biggest things that I learned was hypocrisy is never good. There's no way, shape, or form ever in any situation that hypocrisy is a trait to be cherished. And I think that's the biggest thing. And I know it kind of sounds like a backhanded compliment in a way, to religion, is that the biggest thing that I learned was to not to be a hypocrite. But you see it, but guess what? You see that in anything.
Yeah.
Religious and non. It's a human trait, to want to, you know, expect something from others that you don't expect from yourself. And I think that, you know, I think I mentioned earlier too, it's the, being honest with your self appraisal and looking inward, and looking at the thought of, you know, am I being a hypocrite regardless of what it is? And there's a lot of people that you'll meet in church that are hypocrites, but at the same time, the second piece of that is grace. I think that is a teaching that Christians at least say they believe in and teach. And I think that's a very valuable one is grace.
Define grace
you. It's giving people room to make mistakes because that's exactly what we are. We're humans. Regardless of what you think a human is, we all agree that we make mistakes. So those two things are inextricably linked. And I think those two things should balance each other out. That balance of, I don't want to be a hypocrite, so I need to have grace for people. And it all stems back to understanding and looking and being introspective and understanding, like, I've done wrong things. I've done bad things. I've lied. I've this, that, whatever, you know, lied, cheated, steal this, whatever, we've all done these things that we can hopefully admit that aren't good things for a general idea. So, and I've seen a lot of that in religion, but at the same time, I think that's what people are kind of drawn to religion for. Is to not be a hypocrite and to be able to have grace for other people. I think that's the idea, right? That's to be able to learn these things. So I think that's the attraction. I think there are things that get caught up in the quote unquote religion aspect of it. But I think that's a central thing that what draws people to religion is it's the idea of being a better person.
Yeah.
And I can appreciate that. Yeah. And I applaud that. So to that, you know, piece, those are the two biggest things is, staying away from hypocrisy, which I think leads you into grace.
It's a hard thing to sit there and look at that, because when you say hypocrisy, I recall, cause I've asked you in, you know, non-recorded form, hey dude, why don't you like church? Tell me. And you said, basically in a sarcastic way, we were talking about some things and you said hypocrisy. And I said, okay, I get that. All right. Yeah, that okay, that does make good sense. What do you mean? Expand upon that. And you basically said exactly what you said, but you know, a lot of people see the and I said this to you. I said, you know, we see the holy rollers with the hands up, you know, right. You know, and then, you know, that's on Sunday, but yesterday was Saturday and you know, they're sitting there at the bar drinking, hitting on a lady. You know, but they're in church on Sunday asking for forgiveness or acting like nothing happened. You know,
let's say
they're married.
That's probably the bad example for me because I'm saying, what's wrong with that?
Well, I know
as we're sitting here at a bar with a lady and a man.
No, I'm just saying, like, let's say they're married.
Who's married?
I'm married. I'm in a bar and I'm hitting on a girl. Oh. And it's not my wife.
Okay.
And now I'm Sunday churching it with my hands in the air praising the Lord.
Yeah, I could see the hypocrisy.
It's hypocrisy.
I can see that.
Right. Yeah. And there's a lot of that.
Yeah. And honestly,
that's what turns a lot of people off.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's,
turns me off.
Yeah, no, I get that. I would say that's,
is that kind of where you're at with hypocrisy? I guess I'm trying to understand.
No, I think that's a fairly poor example.
All right. No, that's okay. I'm just
It's an example that would fall into the example of hypocrisy for sure.
I'm trying to understand because I'm trying to have guys understand kind of where you're at.
Yeah. So I think that's a low level example.
Okay.
I think that's low hanging fruit.
That's okay.
Yeah. So when I think about hypocrisy in church, yours is
obviously layered because you're Fred.
I like to drill deep. I think
there's more questions I have for you too. Besides,
okay.
This.
So I'll try to make this quick.
Okay.
So I think you know, the bigger things of hypocrisy in a church are, you know, I've experienced this, and so I'm just going to use examples roughly that I've experienced just to make it easy, so I don't drill down too deep.
You're good.
Where it's leaders of a church that are preaching love and acceptance and how we need to have grace for our fellow believers and the sinners around us. And we are going to believe exactly what the word says. And if you do all those things, then, you know, Jesus did not, you know, who Jesus was the most upset with?
Wasn't it Judah?
In general, just in general, now no one specific, but who did Jesus get the most pissed off with?
Wasn't he throwing stuff about people doing idols and all that? Or was it, the Sodom and Gomorrah?
Well, Jesus wasn't around when Sodom and Gomorrah.
Sorry, man. I'm just trying. Seriously, you are way more educated than I am.
Jesus, he was flipping tables
you
over.
Tell me.
And
yes.
And he constantly gets upset at people pretending to be religious.
And people, oh, really?
And people, and
the holy Pharisees, rollers, the
Pharisees.
Oh, okay. All right.
He's upset at the people pretending, but who does he work his magic for? Who does he sit down with and talk with?
The low level people.
Because they're not doing that. They don't know any better. The people that know better and still are crappy humans. That's pretty crappy. Even worse, the people that talk about being good and are still crappy to other people just for being humans. To me, that's like double hypocrisy. Because not only do you know what it means to be a good human to somebody, you're trying to tell other people about a person that was always good to people, and the people that he got upset by were the people that were pretending to be good and pretending to be like, oh, well, you need to be a good person. And then they were just doing the same thing all over again.
Yeah.
They're lying to everybody. They're lying to themselves. And if you know, Jesus and God, they know what's going on. You ain't gonna lie to them. But the people that he sat down with and talked to were the people that
you're going to deny me three times before the end of the day.
They just didn't know. But, yeah. One of his people that sat at his table, right?
Yeah.
One of his disciples. Those are the people that I think end up often being in positions of leadership in churches because they start to be, I can't say what they think,
yeah.
But that's the point is,
I get
is,
what you're saying.
Yeah. It's the Pharisees. It's the people that talk about how holy they are all the time. And it's people that, you know, you're not, it's,
you know, once again, here's another Bible teaching for you. When you pray, you should pray quietly, privately, by yourself.
Yeah.
Because you're not trying to make a show for somebody. You're trying to talk to your Lord, right? So it's the Pharisees, this is people that make a show of it. So I have a hard time when someone's making a show of something. Why are you trying to, what are you trying to do right now? I don't understand.
I know exactly what you're saying. Cause the thing is like, you see exactly what I see. You know, it's like the stand up, sit down, take the, do this, do that. And to me, it's
a rigmarole.
It is. And the thing is if you actually have a personal relationship with God, then that to me shows, it doesn't, you don't even show me anything, right?
We shouldn't be showing anything. No. So that's the point. It's the
doing something without asking something in return, having grace without needing to have something in return, doing something for somebody and not asking for anything back and saying, don't tell anybody I did this.
Yeah. You don't even have to,
I don't even think making a point out of it, but it's just being a good person.
That's what it is. Not making a point out of it.
Right.
And that's where we there was a time for, maybe it was the time, maybe it was just the movement through the,
don't make a post on Facebook about it.
Yeah. Like, and you can make a post on Facebook about it, but it's all about intent. To me, I think life is all about intent.
Yes.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's my core. That's the one thing I can say I have faith in and belief in. And that's the one thing where I center my life in is it's all about intent. That's my religion is intent. But you know, religion is not about trying to constantly say, oh, look at these things I'm doing. I'm just doing them.
10 Hail Marys. Hey, I'm good.
Yeah. It does. Like, I'm just doing them and it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks.
I confess.
I'm not trying to put it in front of anybody. Yeah. It's if you're doing something, if you truly believe in something, you're just doing it regardless. Now, when somebody asks you about it, you should be excited to tell them about it. That's, I get that. So if someone like, I think a lot of Christians, maybe they're praying before they eat lunch at work. I applaud that. Absolutely. If that's what you want to do, that's great. That's awesome. But I don't need you to tell me about it. But if I ask you about it, I would expect them to be really excited and want to tell me about it.
Yeah.
That would make sense to me. Cause it's, oh, okay. This person is wholeheartedly in, you know, developed and involved in this. And they really believe this. That's exciting to me. I'm cool. Like, that's awesome. I don't need you to tell me about it.
Yeah.
But if I see you do, it should be quiet. It should be done quietly.
I'm glad to hear this.
And when people ask you about it, like, that's exciting. I think we need faith in life. We need something to believe in, whatever it is. Like, I'm not going to tell you what to believe in, but if you go through life without anything to believe in and like anything to encourage you and like motivate you, all those things, like that's no fun either, but it shouldn't be like, oh, look at what I believe in. It's better than what you believe
in.
You know why? Cause I know. Like what?
I'm so glad to hear that. And the reason I'm glad to hear that, Fred, is because like from my Emmaus walk, and I was just telling Cassie about this, you know, I appreciate the letters you guys wrote, Mandy, but when I had my walk, this was before COVID, right before COVID, you know, I was lost. I was a new dad and Emmaus walk, you know, I've explained it on my podcast, but to explain to you, it's a 3-day weekend, 72 hours without your phone, without the internet, without the time. It's just a time to spend with you, yourself and God, honestly, the creator, whatever you want to call him. I don't care. There was something that created us, man. I don't care what it was. Right. There were some atoms that kind of formed together. Sure. But I'm pretty sure if we can sit there and look from a quantum physics level, and we can get into that if you'd like, there is something that if we focus on it long enough, it will change the particles that go around something that our decision, our viewing of it makes the difference. Bro, there's something out there.
So I'll say this: created implies intent, that somebody and something intended to build
and create something. Create implies intent.
Mm-hmm. That's a that I would love to get into that with you.
We don't have to right now. I just want to put that out there that create implies intent. And yes. I think that's where some people I think that's where the discussion and the argument lies is creation implies intent.
Okay.
Did it happen or was there intention to this? Ooh, that's a whole
yes.
Thing. Right. Right. I think, but anyways,
were, yes, no,
yeah, sorry, I don't.
No, no, that's cool, and that's gosh, man, this is a super stinking conversation that I would love to have with you just to have, man.
You can have,
and
maybe we just need to start doing a
what's up
some remote.
Oh, podcasts. Like oh yeah, like through Skype or whatever.
Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah,
I think we could function with that.
Yeah. We could. I would need the same amount of bourbon, which I probably have more than.
No, we don't need this much bourbon.
I know, I'm joking.
No.
But so thank you for that. So I've been wanting to know this throughout our friendship because okay. Sorry, I've told Tony we were talking one night and I said we were talking about religion one night and I said, you know, I look at the Bible verses and I look at the Bible stories and I see the story of Saul and Paul, right? Saul is this warrior, right? He turns into Paul, and Paul's a teacher. Paul's a leader. But man, Saul was like nasty, man. He was ripping some people up. He's a big dude. I see you as Saul sometimes, but I see you as Paul, the very knowledgeable man that, hey, he's got that in him, but he knows what's right and wrong.
So here's another, maybe I'll add this to my
Bible. So I told teaching. Tony, you're Saul or you're Paul.
Okay. Maybe I'll add this to my Bible teachings list that there was a seed planted from through there. There are some good stories that, you know, it's,
I don't mean to have this like friendship conversation, but
it's fine. No. You stop interrupting me. That's probably even worse.
All right. Let me sip on this brandy wine then. All right.
I think so. Like, I think that's another good thought and teaching.
These are things I've always wanted to ask you.
I think particularly for men and dads, it's a really important point to make is, you know, and this is a whole different side discussion too that we could have, I'm sure.
Gosh.
I believe
that part one of our four-part series.
I believe, you know, that men should be masculine and we have a role to play. And not all men have to be the exact same. You don't have to be some big, burly, like lumberjack dude with a beard to be a man. You know, that's not what it is, but it's more on it's more on an emotional level and a. So
I talked about it this morning about being a leader. So you need to be a leader, a confident leader.
And
you need to lead your family. You need to be that leader in your family. Is that where you're going with this?
In a sense, I think men shouldn't be afraid to be strong and shouldn't be afraid to be whatever. I mean, you know, manly and leader-ish. I think a family can have, I think a woman and man can lead in unison. I don't think it's not one person ahead of the other. I think a husband and wife is a relationship and it's a team because a team's,
you don't see the man leading the woman though.
No.
Okay.
Not in the general sense.
I don't have a formed opinion on this.
Not in a general sense. Okay. I think it's, you have to have, it's a team. So maybe this is a fairly good analogy. Quarterback.
Okay.
Most people think of that as a leader of the team, right? Well, where is he without a center?
Yeah.
Nowhere. Absolutely nowhere. Where is he without his right guard? Or tackle? Or running back? Yeah, sometimes you can deal without a running back. Sometimes you can deal without one or two wide receivers. But there's all of those, all 11 guys out in that field make up that team. And I guarantee you, if one team goes out there with 10 players missing just one, even if it's just a little weird wide receiver out there that doesn't really do anything, if one team goes out with 10 and the other goes out with 11, forget about it.
Forget about it.
Forget about it.
Jersey Shore.
So I think a parenting, husband, wife, whatever, you know, relation, whatever that is, but especially in parenting, it's a team effort.
Mm, yes. Yes.
It's a team effort. And there's no one person higher than the other. It's this child was 50% both of you. Literally. Their genetics, half and half.
I agree.
It took both. It takes two to tango, right? Without the one, there was no other, as far as the child is concerned. It is what it is. And that's genetically from the start of that all the way up with it's a team effort. So that you get into that, there's no one person that's more important than the other. They play different roles. We play different roles as husbands and wives and fathers and mothers.
Okay.
But as far like that's as far as the child is concerned, it is what it is. It takes both. And guess what? Even if there's not one of them around, then a part of them is missing. Simple as that. I'm not trying to condemn, you know, anybody that has separated or that doesn't have, you know, I'm not trying to do that.
I get what you're saying though.
It's there's never a whole parenting relationship there and to the child because half of them is somebody else.
Yeah.
I don't, at least not that I'm aware of. There hasn't been a child born that is solely from one person.
Oh, like a asexual or whatever it's called.
I don't know what that would be called because no, I'm fairly certain now that it's never silly. Happened.
But
you know what I mean?
So I do, yeah.
From this human being's conception, it is 50% one person and 50% the other.
Now in the Bible, it talks about women submitting to man.
Yeah, it does. Okay. Quite a bit.
It does.
Yep. It also talks about you shouldn't shave your beard, and that's a sin.
I know. It talks about a lot.
Yeah.
And it talks about sacrifices at the, you know, sacrificing animals, the first, you know, whatever. But I think that, like, as men, we're idiots. And
I think we're all idiots.
We are. But
men, like, and women.
I guess we're to make
equally
my,
idiots.
To make my point, I guess what I'm saying is like, we need to, as men, stand up and be a leader in our family. Because to me, if my wife was a leader in my family, I would feel demasculated. I don't know why.
Demasculated?
Yeah.
Demasculine?
Not as masculine. I would feel...
Demasculinated?
Demasculinated?
I don't think that's a word.
But emasculated.
Demasculating. Demasculated. That would be a word. Demasculated. Yeah.
But do you see what I'm saying?
No, I do. I understand.
I don't mean it in a derogatory way, no, but I mean it in like a motivational way.
No, so I get what you're saying. So I would say this.
You sure you're going with that?
No, I think you could generally say for the majority of the population in the world that men often are more aggressive, they're stronger physically, and so that lends to being a leader and a protector. So when you are a leader and protector of the ones that you're leading and protecting, that, and I think this is also part of nature in a sense. Okay. If we go back to the days where, you know, we couldn't go to an office and make a bunch of money, male or female, and provide for your family, what did you have to do?
Yeah. So
you had to hunt.
Yep.
You had to be physically strong. You had physical endurance, and you had to be, you know, physically capable of providing for your family. And I think that's one thing that's lost. Also, I'll tie this into the religion aspect. I think that's one thing that's lost in that is the what would be considered as like the evolutionary perspective of what's ingrained in us. You know, is that given to us by God, or is this, you know, some kind of thing we've developed over the years because we are physically more capable. And that's just a fact. I'm not going to, you know,
were we designed that way, or was it like,
that's a whole different topic for a different day.
I get it. But the fact is,
that lends to men do feel more comfortable. They're not comfortable. Men live better lives and happier lives when they're able to fulfill those kind of things. Like, and whatever that means for you, like to be able to provide for your family unit, whatever that is. And I think that's something that is inherently kind of built into the general mainframe of a male is wanting to provide.
If Cassie was the leader in your family, do you think that you would be following her? Yes or no?
I don't even know what that means.
If Mandy was my leader in my family, would I want to follow her, or would I feel demasculated? I would feel like, well, why can't I be the leader? I think that's built into us genetically as men, because we are, again, the masculine, the whatever.
I think it all depends on what your definition of leader is. Like what's that even mean?
It's not, I would say I'm not saying like that's a bad thing. I'm just saying like it's a thing that would feel unnatural.
No, I get what you're saying with that. Like, I'm asking you what does that mean to be a leader? Like what?
A spiritual leader, it would be a moral leader. It would be a, hey, this is what we're doing for bedtime for the kids. Hey, this is why we're doing the diet.
It's a decision maker.
The leader.
No, that's a decision maker.
Leader's, what's different. The difference between a decision maker and a leader? Because maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, I don't know if you're wrong or not, but in my mind, that sounds like a decision maker.
Okay.
A decision maker is a person that makes decisions. A leader is somebody that recognizes the team and the group that they're leading and looks at them and, and tries to do the best to make the best decisions. And if in certain situations they are a leader, tends to have the skills and aptitude to be able to make the best decision at the time. But a leader it's not one thing. It's taking the group collectively and doing their best for the entire group.
So the pilot or the stewardess?
Those are two different roles.
I know. So should the man be the pilot? Or maybe the co-pilot? Not the stewardess, the co-pilot and the pilot.
Who's better at flying the airplane?
I don't know.
That's who should be the pilot.
Okay.
The person that's best at flying the airplane.
Okay. But is that typically a guy or a man or a woman? Because I don't know. I'm just asking, dude. This is not a loaded question. Not a physical. Well, no, that's not just, a physical.
Now you're talking statistics.
Not a physical airplane, but like your family unit, your core unit.
It all depends on what the environment you're in.
Do you think that? You think it's fluid? Do you think it could be one or the other?
I think it could be. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, without a doubt.
All right.
I think it could be.
I think it should be the man. I don't know why. I'm not a sexist, but I'm just curious.
Maybe you should consider that question for yourself then, if you don't know why.
I should. It's making me think. Because now that I'm thinking about it, I'm sitting there asking myself, like, why is that? And is it because the Bible says so, right?
Maybe.
And
if you believe, and you know what, there's people out there that are like, look,
in my relationship,
this is my faith, this is my believings, this is my what I've learned, and then this is what I believe in. I understand why people hold those beliefs. But do they understand why they hold those beliefs?
So my understanding is that it's because I'm who I am. You know me, right? So
that was the most ambiguous thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Because I am who I am. You know me, so no, you get it.
So no, hold on. So
can I clip that one?
You can do whatever you want to do. So I'm the outward one, right? I'm the outward one. I'm the one that's like, hey, let's do this, let's do that, whatever. And so I'm the one that's like searching and going and being an extrovert, right? Mandy, she's more of an introvert.
Entirely different than being a leader.
It is.
You know how I know?
All right, go ahead.
They're spelled differently. That means they have different definitions.
True.
That means they have intentions for different meanings. That means they're two different things.
You know what's funny? Is as a leader in my family, I follow my wife. I follow my wife. I follow the teachings in the Bible. She follows me, though, too.
Yeah. I think you can do it. You can be leaders at different times.
I think being a leader, you have to be a follower, too.
No, to be a leader, you have to, I think, to be a good leader, you have to recognize when it's your turn to follow somebody else.
Yes.
And that's what I mean about the whole team thing. It's to being a good leader is collecting the team's thoughts, whether that be a family, a business unit, whatever that is, and recognizing, okay, that's a better idea than I had. What we should probably go with that. Everyone else, how's everyone feel about that? Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. It's not about being right.
Yeah. It's about the best decisions moving forward. Right. That's what a leader is. Cool. Not a decision maker makes decisions based on whatever they want to make decisions on.
And that's not my definition of being a leader though. So I think we're saying the same thing.
You didn't start out saying the same
thing. I think that thinking about this and going about this, it's constructive in the point to where it's like, I think men need to step up. We need to be, that's actually, which one was pretty good? This one's really good. You should try that.
I had this one. Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
So try that. That's a little spicy. So I think that men need to step up, but we also need to listen to our wives.
I don't disagree with that.
Like,
I think there are a lot of men out there that do need to man up.
Oh, you're going to use the N-U-T, nut up.
No, I was going to use the F word.
But we need to.
But now you asked me about it, so now I just said it. So now you just made me the a-hole that made everybody listening to this say both of those words in their minds.
Your fault. Okay. That's okay.
No, but I was. I do think. It's a saying, obviously, but I think there is a trend.
That's a man up, right?
I think there is a trend that is kind of seeped into American society that it has made men feel bad about being decisive and being in not necessarily aggressive in a bad way,
masculine.
But like aggressive as in, you know, trying to act and trying to push forward when no one else wants to, and understanding what the situation is and taking initiative. Maybe that's what taking initiative. And I think that part of that has kind of stripped some of the rhetoric that we hear, this toxic masculinity and those things. I think some of that has stripped a lot of men that are good men away from taking initiative, because it's like, well, I don't want to be perceived as being too aggressive. Yes. And I don't want to be perceived as, you know, man, you know, what, being toxically masculine or any of those things.
Mansplaining.
So, well, that just kind of makes that most of the, that's just kind funny. Of a jerk. Yeah. I get it. Yeah. But it's like, I think part of that has seeped into some people and it has softened men. And I don't mean softening, you know, like, oh, this guy's not a man. It's made us more willing to.
We're more feminine.
No, not that. No? It's okay. No, it's, I mean, I think that's kind of how it ends up coming out in the wash, but I think it's made a lot of men kind of be more wishy-washy and be so attuned to everyone's feelings that they're afraid to hurt someone's feelings that they don't have the ability. They don't have the courage to just be like, well, no, like that doesn't make sense. That's not how this is, because they're afraid of coming off as, you know, toxically masculine or whatever it is. That it's like, so now we tippy toe around everything.
Cautious.
We're too cautious, and not that being cautious is a bad thing, but too cautious, yeah. Guess what? That gets you killed too. You know, if you're too cautious in a house fire, or if you're too cautious in, you know, some kind of emergency situation, someone dies.
Obviously, that's an extreme example. But
no, but I get what you're saying.
When you go through life being too cautious, what it does is you end up suppressing all of the things that, well, this might, I shouldn't say this. Well, because this might be, this might upset people. Or I shouldn't say this because I shouldn't do this. Or, you know, even if I'm really honest about this, well, I don't want to hurt somebody's feelings.
Yeah.
And guess what? Sometimes people's feelings need to get hurt. So, most times they don't need to get hurt.
Yeah, but you.
But sometimes people's feelings consequentially get hurt throughout the process of something that needs done. That doesn't mean we need to try to hurt people's feelings, but it needs, if people's feelings get hurt because we have to do something that needs to be done, that's a different story.
I absolutely agree with that. And the thing is we live in a society to where, like, I would say you live in an area to where you can tell somebody, hey, man up, right? And they're not going to take offense to that.
I guess
where I'm trying to say
is I live in a lot of different environments.
I know, but like I'm trying to say, like, if you said what you just said to somebody in where I live, you might get a mixed review. You might say some people might say
I know a lot of people that give me a mixed review on that one.
But they may say, hey, listen, there's a benefit in being cautious because you don't want to offend.
No, there is a benefit in being cautious, but there's also a detriment in being too cautious. Yes. Moderation and everything, right?
Right. You have to take the risk. So I would say we talked about it this morning. It was being good, not great. Right. So being good gets it done. Being great, you may miss out on getting it done because you're so worried about being too cautious, being great, being perfect, whatever. But if you're good, not great, you get it done, but you have time to go back and reflect and revisit it. Right. So we're really deep on this and we're talking about like multi-layered stuff here and it's,
I'm sorry, it's your show.
No, I know. But the thing is like, I mean, we can get so deep on this, Fred. And it's, I love having these conversations with you because, you know, I don't get them very often, but to look at this and to sit there and say like, hey, you know, it's okay to be cautious, but don't sit there and waffle about, man. Just make a decision. You don't hear that very often in society is to use your decisiveness and just do it.
Sometimes
just indecision, do it lost.
Yeah. Sometimes indecision is the worst decision.
Yes.
Cause you make that decision to be indecisive.
I have a guy I work out with every morning and he said that's his biggest flaw is being indecisive. He's so worried about being perfection. He gets into a perfection loop.
And then what you end up with?
You nothing. You don't get
the
anything
absolute
done.
Opposite of perfection. Nothing.
Nothing. So be good. So try to be good, not great.
And I mean, you can still try to be great.
You can try to be great, but be good first, right? Get it done.
Yeah.
Get the freaking job done, right?
I will agree with you there. You got to hit the good mark before you get to the great mark.
Marriage. Right. What if you could give? If you could give today. If you could give guys like. I'm going to shift gears. If you give guys a tip in marriage, what mm-hmm. would it be? Happy wife, happy life. That's my tip.
No,
but it's happy wife, happy life's fun to say, but
it's an umbrella statement.
It is.
It's an umbrella statement. And I get it.
But what's Fred Wynn? So what is your tip in a marriage to stay happy, I would not say stay happy because being happy is relative, right? So you can be happy in a marriage but you could, all you do all day long is please your wife as in like, oh yeah, honey, you want that? Go ahead. You do it. Oh, here's money. How do you stay connected? How do you stay binded together? How do you stay interconnected with your wife in a relationship that is strong and that is solid? Give me some advice. Tell me as a dad, what would you tell other dads to do that are maybe in a relationship that they don't give their wife the time of the day? I think you do a good job. What do you do?
Man, that's a deep question. I'll say this.
Day to day.
First, I got a couple points here that I'm really logging my brain, so don't distract me because you're good at that.
Can I open another one?
You do whatever you want.
What do you want to open next?
It's your life.
It's your bourbon.
All right, it's yeah, but you procured.
What's over there?
Me.
What's that?
This one? Is the warm sugar cookie.
Let's do that. Have you already opened that?
No, it's the sealed still.
You've been talking about this one a lot.
I haven't. Yeah, I just assumed that I'd like it.
All right. So now.
All right. So wife. I would say.
Cassie's right here.
Happiness in a family and marriage. Because you put kids in there. So
I did.
That automatically changed my restructuring of my thinking.
You could just say sex, but that doesn't make the kid happy, right? No.
That does. For those of you out there that don't realize that. That is what creates the kid.
Yeah, birds and bees.
Yeah.
Got it.
No, I'd say since you added kids in there in marriage, the very first thing that I would give someone advice about how to have a happy marriage with kids is that your children come second.
Ooh, okay.
To you and your wife or husband. And I think it's that relationship that it's a cyclical and it's a feedback system. And without that happy relationship, that means you're not going to be happy. That means your spouse is not going to be happy. That means your kid's not going to be happy. So if you don't need to put the kid happy first, because the kid's a kid, guess what? It's this little human being trying to figure out what's going on. Your job is to show the child what life is about and to teach them how to find their own happiness. Your job is not to make them happy. Your job is to teach them how to find happiness.
Or show them what happiness is.
Yes. Lead by example, right? And by doing so, you have to facilitate and, for lack of a better term, fertilize. I can't think of the word that I want. That's not fertilize.
I mean, but that's how you make a baby. Yeah. So go right ahead.
But is to perpetuate the relationship with your significant other. Even if it's not their paternal. Or
I get what you're saying.
Their paternal, yeah, paternal parent. Their paternal, you know, figure.
So mature and grow.
Yeah, if it's your, you need to facilitate a healthy relationship with a person that is the closest to you, and that's your partner, whatever that means to you. And they see that because kids learn. Almost did it again. They're sponges. And they just soak up everything they see. And that is one thing that I think I've been acutely aware of and continue to beat myself up over all the time, because I know that the kid's seeing it and they're just soaking it up. So
can I ask you a question?
Are you? No, not yet.
Okay.
You hold on to it. Cause right. I said I had 2 points. So then it's,
I want to ask you what you mean by that. That's it.
Okay. You what by what?
So they're sponges. What do you,
oh, they soak up everything around them.
Are you talking about maybe arguments with the wife?
Everything, okay. Whatever it is, okay. TV, nature, they're just soaking everything up. They ain't got nothing better to do,
but they see how you act towards your
everything.
Wife.
They see how you act at the grocery store. They see how you interact with anything.
I would say your
particularly
your daughter sees how you act towards your wife and says, hey, that's how a man should act to his wife.
Yeah, she doesn't think that.
She will.
Not consciously.
But she will.
Not consciously, probably. Not for a long time.
But she will.
Maybe in her 30s, she'll realize that. Maybe. I don't think a lot of people realize that until they're way past their 20s.
Oh, definitely.
I'm saying like
subconsciously.
Yes. I'm saying subconsciously. Yes. Your kids realize what.
I was thinking that's where you're going.
Subconsciously, your okay. kids see those things. You know how you interact with your significant other.
Sorry.
And not only so it's a constant it's a multi feedback loop of if you treat a spouse well, and they are willing to treat you well, if you are both willing to enter into this venture, of each other. And being concerned about each other and wanting to make the other happy. And it's not about doing it
fakely, which isn't a word.
Intentionally.
It's about doing it intentionally. And it's understanding that for me to be happy, I care about this other person so much that I want them to be happy and they want me to be really happy. So we have this constant flow. It's the relationship is always in flux. You know, neither of us are always 100%. You know, it's, hey, some days it's I'm 25 and she's 70. Some days I'm 75 and she's 25. And some days we're both kind of like 40 and there's a little bit of 20% loss somewhere. And
you're talking, you're talking effort wise, right?
I'm just in general, whether it be, emotional, like, energy put in, like whatever it is. Some days, you know, you just wake up and you're having a bad day.
Yep.
You know, the best thing to do when you're doing that, be honest with yourself, be honest with, guess what? Your spouse should be integrated into yourself. They are you now, right? That's the whole idea is a marriage, particularly in, you know, or whatever you deem is whatever. You're joining to be one, your team. And guess what? When you have little spawn that you create, guess what? They're part of you too. Regardless of what you think, they are, like we said earlier, 50% of that spawn is you.
And you're like, wow.
That's your DNA.
Yeah.
So you have to, these aren't things that you can just separate from and think about, oh, I can have a happy life. These are things that you're inextricably tied to. So it's your spouse should be number one, because guess what? They're the ones that help you create this spawn. And when this spawn is grown up and gone in whatever form, no matter if they live next door to you or in your basement, or they live halfway across the country, that little human being out there is still part of you, but they're going to go on and have their own life just like you did. And just like you left your parents' basement, hopefully. Unless you're like taking care of them and like it's your house, like I get it's cool. Living your parents' basement, yeah. It's cool if you're like letting your parents live in your house and you're in your basement.
But you're saying treat your spouse with the respect that's due.
Yeah, and it's and they should be.
Ooh.
And it sounds funny when you say like my spouse is more important than my kid. But I heard that when I was younger at one point that someone was like, look. I heard a guy say this once, I heard a story.
Yeah.
I don't remember the details, but I heard a story that a guy told his kids this once was, look, your mom was around long before you and she'll be here with me, God willing, long before you leave this house or long after you leave house.
I get it.
So yes, you are number two in this house. My wife, your mother, is number one because she's going to be the one that's here, not you. And that hit me. It made a lot of sense. Like when you really pour all that out, it's like, yes, that's how it should be. And if you and your spouse can have a healthy, happy relationship, then that's only going to benefit the kids.
Yeah.
There's no other way that can.
It'll show
that it can't make them worse.
Yeah. It'll show the kids what I guess the thing is like, we are the role models to what our child should be looking towards in a relationship of their own. So, yeah. So they say that women, girls, they date people that are like their dads. Right. So it's up to us to create that.
Example.
Yeah,
and the most simplistic sense, yeah, like where you're creating an example for your kid. So
right, so set work, the example. So work on it, right?
Yeah.
So work on your relationship with your wife. Be honest.
And guess what? If you can't be honest with your spouse, and if you can't have honest conversations, it's really hard. But guess what? Yeah. It's really good when you can both set aside your egos and your insecurities, and you can also. This is the key to that. When you can also let your partner set aside their insecurities, because you're going to give them enough grace and space to be who they are and accept them for that.
Good, bad, ugly.
Bad what?
Good, bad, ugly. I mean,
good, bad, ugly. Yeah. Exactly. Right. Those are the vows that most people take when they get married.
They don't,
how many people live by that?
Not many.
Because they're selfish.
Yeah. Or scared.
Yeah. Or scared. Or I'm scared. Insecure.
Yeah.
I'm scared. Yeah. I'm all those things.
Yeah.
But how much do you let them control your relationship with this person that you feel is the greatest person you've ever met in your entire life? That's who they're supposed to be, right?
Yeah.
The greatest person you've ever met in your entire life. So let them be that.
Yeah.
Give them room to be that. Obviously, you can't let them have room to step all over you and be a jerk and whatever.
Right.
All the bad things that can happen.
Right. Yeah.
There's
yeah.
lines that need to be drawn. But if that person, if you are willing to go into that relationship and not even go into that relationship, if you're even if you've been married for years and years and years and you're willing to start treating each other that way and start treating each other with respect and openness and willing to say, hey, like what we've been doing isn't great. Like, I don't know. Like there's a lot of people out there that, hey, my marriage isn't real great. Like this, that like relationship is whatever. And you know, a lot of people get busy with work and you know, people think, oh, well, they have a bunch of kids, they get distracted. And the marriage is one of those things that first, that relationship between those two people kind of gets put to the wayside.
I think it's honesty with yourself. So if you,
and the other person,
it
you,
is.
And you have to be willing to let them be honest with you. That's even harder.
That's so scary.
That's real scary.
It's scary, man. Cause like if you mess up, right, let's say you mess up in your life, you go out, drink too much, you make a mistake. I was following this guy on Instagram, you know, and this, he was like, you know, I've cheated on my wife. And I told her when I cheated on her, I was like, oh man, you sat there and talked to your wife and said, hey, I cheated on you. Oh my gosh. How much strength does that take? I mean,
how much love does that take?
That's another way to look
at
it.
If he cared, either it had to be either one of two things, right? Either he was hoping that would explode his relationship and give him an out, and he was too much of a coward to ask for an out, or he realized, oh, I really messed up.
Don't use cuss words.
I really messed up. I actually care about this person way more than I ever even thought. And I need to come clean. I need to be honest with myself and this other person. And I need to tell them. And this is part of that understanding that this person may not give me grace or forgiveness, but I care about this person so much that I need to be honest with them. And being honest with them means that I gotta do it.
Yeah.
Like, so that, here it is. I'm gonna be honest with you. And it's your decision now, but that shows more courage. It's not even courage. I think it shows that caring for the other person.
Faith. And dude, you said it right there. It's saying something because we may be to the point to where we're not going to, your wife's not going to sit there and be like, oh, you're okay. Thanks for telling me. Like,
and maybe she might.
She might, but dude.
Maybe she's like, was she hot? Bring her home.
Yeah. You're silly, dude.
I'm. You never know.
Hey, different strokes, different
exactly. Yokes, different strokes. There's whatever. A lot of different people out there.
But I would say in a general sense, like, bro, if you said I cheated on my wife, your wife's going to be like, where's your gun at? Because I'm going to kill you.
That's a little excessive.
It is, but a lot of women do it. I'll tell you what, well, man.
There's a lot of men that do it too.
Hey, yeah. Whatever. But like, I would say from everything I've seen from one of the guys that I follow on Instagram, when you give up that power, when you completely become vulnerable, there was a pastor that I was friends with. He confided in me to be his accountability partner. He told me some things in his life and he's like, hey, I want you to be my accountability partner. I was like, what are you talking about? He told me some things. I was like, oh my gosh, you struggle with that too? He's like, yeah. You give up that power, right? You don't give power to those things that are your weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And I think that progresses you in your life because you no longer sit there and you say, hey, these are the things that are holding me back. You know, you give up that power, you give it away. You say, you know what? I'm going to admit to that. Whatever.
Yeah, and I think it's not always necessarily just whatever. I think it's, you know, I get what you're saying, but I'm a spurn off on this.
You're good.
So it's, you know, it's the ability to, it's one thing to admit your faults, right?
But it's another to learn from them and build off of them.
True.
You know, because you can be a real crappy person and be like,
"Hey, I messed up.
Yeah,
again.
Yo, I'm a crappy person.
I got drunk again. Like, sorry, babe.
What do you want me to do about it?
Yeah, this just
is who
me.
This is who I am.
Yeah, I know.
Well, guess what? Then okay, this is not a person that I want to, you know, be around. If you're just constantly like, but
I guess we need to define. So sorry.
Yeah, but it's building on that, yeah. Right? And that's the whole point. Is it's not just being honest.
Yeah,
you can be honest and still be a jerk bag. Like, God, you know what, dude. I mean, like, you could be really honest and be a jerk.
Hey, cheated on you again, sorry babe. You're, yeah, like what, this is the 14th time.
Yeah, like you, yeah, you could still be a, yeah, no, you know,
all I get what you're saying,
but that's, so it's building on that and saying like, okay, and realizing it, like we talked about, like looking at yourself and going, okay,
yeah
I messed up. Did I want to do that? Like, is this what I want to continue doing moving forward? Well, no, like, and it's all right, I care about this person, I don't want to continue to hurt them. But recognizing that you did and owning it and going, you know what? Yeah, I was kind of a jerk. And whether it's even like, yeah, I said I was going to do the dishes and yeah, I sat down and I started watching a TV show and I just didn't get them done.
I think,
you know what? I'll do them right now. I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, I'll get them done. All the way to the little things. But it's, is it just an excuse that you're just telling the person that, like, oh yeah, well, sorry. Like, but I was honest. Or so, are you trying to be productive and be better?
So let me ask this question. How long are we in?
A couple hours, maybe? 2 hours? So an hour and a half?
We're at 2 hours since the break.
Okay, that's fine then.
Okay, yeah.
So I don't want to, like, I was trying to figure out a good way to wrap it up. And I was just like, you know, there's so many things that, like, I think it sucks, right? So, you know, this, you get like an hour and a half in and it's like, you start hitting your stride, right? So it's like,
whatever. I'm here,
but I want to ask you, like, do you feel that too? When you do your podcast, you're like an hour and a half in, you're like, you start getting like, you start getting,
sometimes it all depends.
Yeah.
Yeah. It all depends on the topic and the people. And
so I feel like we're hitting our stride and I don't want to like cut it off, but I definitely am curious about a few things. I do have to pee, but I feel like I've got 15, 20 minutes worth of extra stuff I want to ask.
And like I said earlier, we can always do the
part.
I never thought about it. We could do the virtual thing too.
Okay.
We could do like a little mini series if you want.
I got 15 to 20 minutes worth of stuff I want to ask you.
Okay, well, hurry up then.
All right, I will, though. I got to pee, though.
So I...
Because I know, I appreciate, you, I know you, that. If you put a mic on yourself, I appreciate that. Seriously.
We just did all of that, not recorded, so I'm not sure what you...
No, that's okay.
Well, so I think... So how about this? You said you had a wrap-up, and I'll dual pod.
I'll dual host
for this. You got to wrap up.
Like 2 hours and 30 minutes is like where I'm.
Yeah. Okay. So
trying to be.
I will say this. That's part of the conversation. So we took a potty break and we were having a side conversation, but I think part of being a man is the ability to, yes, I want to take care of my family. And I think that's also part of being a woman is taking care of your family and wanting to take care of your family doesn't necessarily have to fit in a certain box or fit in a certain description or a certain thing. It's, I want to do the best that I can to take care of my family. And regardless of what roles you fill, it's, I'm doing the best to take care of my family. If it's, you're a man and you're doing all the cooking, or, you know what, there's some women out there that love working on cars. There's all whatever the ridiculous like stereotypes and whatever, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's a part of being a man and woman or whatever, a structure of family that you have. I think we have stereotypes for reasons, particularly when physicality comes into it. You know, I'll be the first one to say that, you know, men are typically stronger and bigger than women. That's just a physical thing. It's a biological thing. But when it comes to taking care of family, it's whatever roles you feel the best. And particularly in a partnership with another person, it's, all right, here's the things we need to do to take care of our family. Here's the things we need to do to be good parents. what do I need to do to be a good dad?
Yeah, dude.
You all right? If my wife is really good at A, B, and C, and I'm really good at D and G,
F
and F, definitely good at F.
Good at F.
Then that's what I'll do. But you know what? You know, some I might be really good at A and E and F
and T
and whatever it is, or Z or X or Y. But it's that, like we've talked, like I've mentioned, it's the teamwork.
Yeah,
and exactly. It's that bond, and it's the unit. It's your circle that's centered around the little tiny humans that you have created.
You do a good job of wrapping things up, man.
Well, you said you had like a 20-minute for me. So
no, I do. And the thing is like, I guess where I'm at is Fred, like to me in life, we have so many things that we focus and we put focus on. Like we are so focused on like being good people. We're so focused on like being good dads, good being husbands. Like, dude, there's so many things that we're focused on, but I guess at the end of the day, what does it all come out to be? Right. It is a conglomerate of everything put into one. Mm-hmm. Right. So to me, it is, it's just me, right? Be a good person. You've said this to me many times, right? I've asked you, is like, what do you do? You're like, just be a good person, man. That's it.
Do your best.
Yeah. Do your best. And really it's like, it's do your best, the best you can. Mm-hmm. Cause like, Do the best, ooh, the best you can.
That's good. Do your best, the best you can. Because yeah. Often I think people they'll say they're doing their best.
Thank you.
And they are.
Yeah.
But are you doing it the best you can? Because if you're doing it the best you can, that means concentrating on improving. Because the best you can should be trying to constantly improve, because we can never be perfect. Right. But don't we aim to improve? If you're not aiming to improve, then are you doing the best you can?
Yeah. Yeah. You always have to focus on the improvement, because I was told by a wise man once time, if you are not improving, you're declining. If you think you're being like flat like that, you're declining. And to me, you always have to improve. Like, you can't just sit there and be stagnant, man. You're being stagnant. You're declining.
Because you're always getting older.
Yeah.
You're
getting older. And the thing is like, I would say like, if you're resting on your laurels, right? They say that.
Is the thing they say.
They do say that. Yeah. Then you are not improving.
Where are you going?
Nowhere.
If you're not going anywhere,
you're going nowhere. Cass, you got a microphone, right? No, she's like, grab that microphone, Cass. If you could say one thing about your relationship with Fred, what would be the one most influential thing that Fred has done in your relationship, I don't care before kids or after, that he has done that you've said, you know what? Damn, that was a good idea.
So we're doing this from dad devotions to mom devotions too?
No. This is marriage devotions.
Oh, marriage devotions.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I think that's a good.
It's appropriate. Okay. If Fred did one thing, what's the one thing Fred's done? You're like, you know what? Damn, Fred. Gosh, that was so awesome. I appreciate that as a mom, a wife, a spouse, a partner. And you were like, you know, that right there has motivated me to do X, Y, Z. What would that be?
He shows up every day.
Now, what does that mean?
He's consistent. So Fred doesn't celebrate birthdays. We have both forgot our anniversary. He doesn't put stock in holidays or traditions. He doesn't want to make me feel special one day or 2 days out of the year. He knows I hate doing the dishes, or he knows that I hate coming home to the dishes done when I come home from work. So Fred does the dishes. He shows up.
Fred's solid dude.
No, he knows what I need.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, we've been together like 16 years. So Fred's love language, I don't know
if
the men know about love language. There we go. Fred's love language is showing, the way that he shows his love is acts of service. He knows me as a person. I don't operate well when I'm high stressed. He looks around, what can he do? He'll go to the grocery store. He'll buy me tampons. He doesn't care. Fred sits in his, like I said, he has no problem being ashamed of emotions. We're raising a little girl. He was raised by his mom and his sisters. So there's nothing that we can't talk about. But he shows up every day. He's consistent. Guess what? I might not get a bouquet of flowers sent to my work, to my anniversary. But I get something every day that I know that he cares.
He's a rock, man.
He is. And the consistency is just, I know that I can always count on him. And I don't want to take it, I don't want to take it for granted, but I know that it's just, he's going to show up. It's going to be there. And if he can't show up, he's going to ask for grace, because he's man enough to do that. He's going to say, work's going to suck the next 2 weeks. I can't show up for you the way that I want to. He lets me know so that I'm not sitting here going, what?
You're worse, my dude.
Yeah. Like what? Yeah. You know I have to get in the headspace to now pick up the slack, because he was able to tell me that. Right. So
let me ask you this, Cass. So Fred's a solid dude. That's why I'm friends with Fred, because like, I know Fred's a solid dude. Like,
I'm still here.
I know you're still here. Like, I'm not trying to flirt with you.
This is really, this is the most awkward I've ever felt.
But no, but like,
but are you surprised by my answer?
No, this isn't the most awkward.
No, but he is a solid dude. So I would ask, like, what is the one thing that like you do as a wife that you're like, you know what? I got to do this to help Fred out. If you could tell other women, like,
really good BJs for sure.
Okay. All right. Oh.
You said this is a marriage podcast. You can cut that out.
I guess that's not a cuss word. So whatever. Thanks, Cass, for skirting the line.
Well, I mean,
jeez.
We're married. Can we not like normalize sex?
All right.
Like,
so
everybody's dads, like, they've done the deed. Right.
That's true. So what you're, so I would say.
No, that was a joke.
That's not,
I know that's a joke.
I feel like that's like,
Let me normalize this. So a healthy sexual relationship is great, because it helps both spouses out. It helps the one spouse feel like they're like wanted, and it helps the other spouse say, hey, you know what? I'm going to give you something that like, you know what? I feel like you deserve, because I think it's awesome.
As long as both spouses are giving and receiving, as long as it's not,
I think it's mutual, right?
Can I answer
Chad's question? I don't know. Go ahead. You asked her what
you
she
answering
does.
Cass's question?
Yes, I am.
Oh,
I'm taking this one over.
I feel like you should.
Yeah. Ooh. I think it was more of a question that should have been pointed towards me.
All right, go girl.
Was what does she do that that is special for me, right?
Yeah. Keep this PJ.
That's number two. The sex thing is number two for sure. That's high on the list. I think it's important, right? We're all adults here. We talk about kids.
All right, go ahead.
We had kids.
All right, go ahead.
This is dad. I mean, if you're a dad, you know how the whole thing works.
You're really screwing that cuss word thing, which is fine.
No, yeah. I think that's important. I think that's ridiculous.
Dude,
to shame that.
All right, dude, it is important. I agree. Go ahead.
Yeah,
I'm joking. It is important.
So that's second.
Yeah.
But I can tell you, without a shadow of a doubt,
okay,
that the most important thing that my wife has done for me is be entirely open to accepting me emotionally and allowing me to not be ashamed for anything that I have gone through in my past. We have worked out our differences. We continue to work them out every day actively. It's marriage management. That's another big thing. And also in that emotional pieces, she has been by far with hands down the absolute person in my life that has accepted me and shown me love, and not just like, oh, I care about you, like, but has shown me love by accepting and willing to stand by me and support me, and not support me as in like, yeah, you're doing all the right things, but mentally supporting me. And the one person in my entire life that has ever consistently through all the darkest crap said, how can I help you? What can I do for you? I am here for you. Even when she's super pissed at me.
Yeah.
Even when she wants to hate me. And she goes, I can't do that. I can't hate you. I care for you. I love you. How can I help you? Regardless of whatever I'm going through and however much of that pours onto her, she has shown me more than anybody in my entire life that she is there and willing, if I am willing to be there and show up as well.
Yeah, you
got it. And that is what makes her special.
Yeah, man. That's genuine, man. I appreciate that. That's so genuine. It's hard to find that in relationships. You know, we sit there in relationships and we dude, we cannot sit there. Like, there's men out there that cannot say that. There's men out there that
most people can't say that.
No,
I count myself very lucky.
Yeah, I know.
To find somebody that supports me regardless. Not regardless, but
I get what you're saying.
Is there.
And unconditionally. I would say without condition to an extent.
Yeah, without like me just straight taking a crap on her. Like yeah, if I were a jerk. Then like it would make sense.
Yeah,
to an extent. But even when I have been a jerk to her.
Yeah.
She has seen that like I have been in much more pain.
Doesn't matter, right?
Than I have been a jerk to her.
Yeah.
And she recognizes, she is very good at recognizing when I'm a jerk to her. And she is very good at voicing that.
She call you out.
Oh yeah.
That's good.
That's what friends do, right?
Exactly.
Regardless, even romantic relationships or not, that's what friends do, right? Yeah. They're good people. That's what you want. You want people to call you out. But she has been very good about simultaneously being upset with me, but not writing me off and saying, I'm really irritated with you.
Yeah.
But if I can help you out because I care about you, what can I do? And that's exactly what you just said. I think that's what grace is.
Yeah.
And I think grace.
God, man, that's so hard to do though. It's so hard to do because like, let me end it with this. So to me, the definition of grace, gosh, it's so hard. You sit there and you forgive someone for something that you don't think you could ever forgive them for. You give them grace. And it's like, man, why am I forgiving this person? Right? Like, I can never give them grace for this. Like, but you do. It's because you're trying to be stronger. You're trying to be a strong person to say, hey, I forgive you for your faults that you are. You know what I'm saying?
I think grace is recognizing the value in somebody and loving them enough to allowing them the space to correct their wrongdoings. And it's giving them that room, right?
Which got Cass?
I'm not a Bible connoisseur like Fred is, but like love covers a multitude of sins, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. So I think that showing grace is like understanding that we all mess up, we're not perfect, but also like I believe in you enough to put myself back out there.
To know that you feel like bad for doing what you did, right?
No, that like I have faith
and you can do better.
That you're going to do better.
Yeah.
I believe you when you say that you're sorry.
Yeah.
I want you to win so much that I have faith in you and I'm willing to take the L. I'm willing to lose.
Yeah.
This one time.
This one time, because I'm betting on you.
Yeah, because you know you effed up, right?
The first time that I feel like I was able to show Fred grace, we weren't together. We had separated. We weren't together. And I loved him so much as a person. We had no intentions of being back together, but I needed him to be the person that I knew he could be.
Yeah.
So what can I do for you? You know, there was nothing in it for me romantically. I wasn't trying to help build this husband that I wanted. Our child needed a good dad. She deserved that. And he deserved so much more than what he had had. So I believe in you. I'm willing to put my heart out there to help you however I can. That to me is grace. There was no return for me other than maybe selfishly, my child's going to have the best dad she can have.
Well, it's the fear of possibly being hurt too, right? So like you could be hurt.
Yeah. But isn't that like.
That's what love and grace is.
You have to have faith, right?
So, faith and love and grace. All like, those things are the understanding.
Right.
If you like, how great is it to lose something and be sad? Because that means you had it, right?
Exactly.
If you play it safe all the time, like, what's the point?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, don't be a doormat. I'm not saying that the women out there have to be a doormat or the men out there have to be a doormat. Like, you have to have enough self-worth to know what you deserve. But if you can ask someone, hey, I need grace, you can give it, too.
I would say, like, I agree with that. Forgiveness, like, dude, we all screw up, right?
It's inevitable.
It is, because we're not perfect.
Yeah, and no one's always going to like what you do.
No.
All that.
And so forgive and move on.
But the thing is with forgiveness is everyone has something that they can, everyone's line is different, right? So you can maybe forgive something that somebody did that maybe I can't, or vice versa. But at some point, you have to forgive yourself. You can't live your life just constantly in this loop of trying to get someone to forgive you. Eventually, you have to forgive yourself and move on. You know, it's not just giving somebody else and moving on. You have to forgive yourself and move on, too, if that makes sense.
It does. I gotta pee, though.
We can wrap this up.
Let's wrap it up. I gotta pee so bad, dude. But thank you, Fred.
Hey.
Appreciate it, man. And dude, I will say, like, this last 40 minutes, this last like 30 minutes, whatever, it's like the best. Because we got so deep, we got so into it that it makes so much sense. Gosh, man. I hope it helps somebody like look at this and go, man, I'm right there with you. Like, dude, I feel the same thing.
We're all just living life.
I know.
Thanks, Chad.
With that, Fred.
Appreciate it.
Dude, you rock.
Thanks.
Dad Devotions, Chronic Curiosity, out.
Thank you for joining us today. Remember, check out the website, chronic-curiosity.com. to join us at the forum, have some fun, interaction, pick you up a comfy t-shirt, or if you just want to support the show and donate, all that is on the website as well. Thank you. Until next time.
See you.